Welcome to Zichu Daf Simani Mamre by Avram Goldar, and today Masechus Baba Kama Daf Tzadi, the eighth parak al Chovel. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, a braisa discusses one who sells a slave but retains the slave's work for 30 days. Rav Meir says, Rishon yeshno bedin yom o yomayim. The first owner is subject to the rule of a day or two, meaning where if one strikes his own slave and the slave dies more than 24 hours later, the owner is exempt, b'fnei shehu tachta, because the slave is under his domain. His ownership of the slave's produce renders him the owner because Rav Meir holds kinyan paris is like kinyan aguf. Rav Yehuda says the buyer has the yom o yomayim exemption because he is his property. He holds kinyan paris is not kinyan aguf, so the buyer who owns the physical slave is the owner. Rav Yossi says both have the yom o yomayim exemption because he's uncertain if kinyan paris is like kinyan aguf. The safek nefashel zahakel and doubts involving capital punishment are ruled leniently. Rav Yehuda says neither has the yom o yomayim exemption because he requires kaspo miyuchadlo, property exclusively his. Point of which, Rav Yehuda Nasiya once told an assailant who had struck someone's ear, here I am, and here's Rav Yossi Galili, give him a Tyrian mana for boshas. The Gemara asks, if he meant that he witnessed the incident and could obligate payment on his personal knowledge, l'memra de'ed nasadayin, is this to say that a witness can become a judge based on what he saw? But a braisa teaches that if Sanhedrin witnessed a murder, Rav Tarfon says some of the judges testify before the others, and the others can judge based on the received testimony. Rav Akiva said that since all of them were potential edim, none of them can judge the case. But even Rav Tarfon does not allow them to judge the case based on their own knowledge. Where I answer is Kagon Shiro below, the cases where they saw the murder at night, when they were unable to judge the case, which must be judged by day. Therefore, they cannot judge based on their knowledge. If they witnessed the incident by day, like Rav Yehuda Nasiya, they could even judge based on their knowledge. Alternatively, Rav Yehuda Nasiya was merely referring to his opinion regarding the payment amount. And point number three, a braisa quotes the pasuk, "Behika ish esra'ehu be'evan o be'egrov," and one strikes his fellow with a stone or a fist. Shimna Timni says the juxtaposition teaches ma'egrov miyuchad shemasul la'edu la'edim, just as a fist is distinctive in that it's available to both the court and witnesses to be examined, so too any attack can only be judged if the weapon can be examined by the court to determine if it was fit to inflict such harm, and if it was not, the harm is attributed to the victim's personal weakness. This excludes where the weapon was lost by the edim and cannot be examined by the court. Rav Akiva responded that even if the weapon was brought before the court, did they witness the attack to know how many times he struck his victim or on what part of his body? Furthermore, if someone pushes fell off a roof, must Beis Din travel to the site to examine the tower, or must the tower travel to Beis Din? And if the tower collapsed, would it have to be rebuilt to be examined? Rather, the Torah requires only that the weapon was examined by the witnesses. So once again, the three points are, number one, a braisa discusses one who sells a slave but retains the slave's work for 30 days. Rav Meir says, Rishon yeshno bedin yom o yomayim. The first owner is subject to the rule of a day or two, meaning where if one strikes his own slave and the slave dies more than 24 hours later, the owner is exempt, b'fnei shehu tachta, because the slave is under his domain. His ownership of the slave's produce renders him the owner because Rav Meir holds kinyan paris is like kinyan aguf. Rav Yehuda says the buyer has the yom o yomayim exemption because he is his property. He holds kinyan paris is not kinyan aguf, so the buyer who owns the physical slave is the owner. Rav Yossi says both have the yom o yomayim exemption because he's uncertain if kinyan paris is like kinyan aguf. The safek nefashel zahakel and doubts involving capital punishment are ruled leniently. Rav Yehuda says neither has the yom o yomayim exemption because he requires kaspo miyuchadlo, property exclusively his. Point of which, Rav Yehuda Nasiya once told an assailant who had struck someone's ear, here I am, and here's Rav Yossi Galili, give him a Tyrian mana for boshas. The Gemara asks, if he meant that he witnessed the incident and could obligate payment on his personal knowledge, l'memra de'ed nasadayin, is this to say that a witness can become a judge based on what he saw? But a braisa teaches that if Sanhedrin witnessed a murder, Rav Tarfon says some of the judges testify before the others, and the others can judge based on the received testimony. Rav Akiva said that since all of them were potential edim, none of them can judge the case. But even Rav Tarfon does not allow them to judge the case based on their own knowledge. Where I answer is Kagon Shiro below, the cases where they saw the murder at night, when they were unable to judge the case, which must be judged by day. Therefore, they cannot judge based on their knowledge. If they witnessed the incident by day, like Rav Yehuda Nasiya, they could even judge based on their knowledge. Alternatively, Rav Yehuda Nasiya was merely referring to his opinion regarding the payment amount. And point number three, a braisa quotes the pasuk, "Behika ish esra'ehu be'evan o be'egrov," and one strikes his fellow with a stone or a fist. Shimna Timni says the juxtaposition teaches Ma'egrof Miyuchad Shemasu La'ed La'edim, just as a fist is distinctive, in that it's available to both the court and witnesses to be examined, so too any attack can only be judged if the weapon can be examined by the court to determine if it was fit to inflict such harm, and if it was not, the harm is attributed to the victim's personal weakness. This excludes where the weapon was lost by the edim and cannot be examined by the court. Rekiva responded that even if the weapon was brought before the court, did they witness the attack to know how many times he struck his victim or on what part of his body? Furthermore, if someone pushed his fellow off a roof, must Beis Din travel to the site to examine the tower, or must the tower travel to Beis Din? And if the tower collapsed, would it have to be rebuilt to be examined? Rather, the Torah requires only that the weapon was examined by the witnesses. All right, so now we got our Simmer Daf Tzadi, and this one was suggested to us by David Levine from Thornhill, Ontario, as well as Nathaniel Yankelev from Clifton, New Jersey. They both suggested that Tzadi is a tzedakah box. So here goes. The master who sold his slave but retained his work for 30 days, who was so happy he was still subject to the rule of Yom or Yomaim when he killed the slave that he put money in the Beis Din tzedakah box, was shocked when he noticed some judges who witnessed a murder act as witnesses, as the judges judging examined the murder weapon. Once again, slow motion. The master who sold a slave but retained his work for 30 days, who was so happy he was still subject to the rule of Yom Yomaim when he killed the slave that he put money in the Beis Din tzedakah box, that must be a daf tzadi. The master who sold a slave but retained his work for 30 days, who was so happy he was still subject to the rule of Yom Yomaim when he killed the slave that he put money in the Beis Din tzedakah box, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a four-way machlokes regarding who gets the din of Yom or Yomaim when someone sells a slave but retains his work for 30 days. The issue is dependent on what one holds, whether kinyan haperos k'kinyan haguftami. So the master who sold the slave but retained his work for 30 days, who was so happy he was still subject to the rule of Yom or Yomaim when he killed the slave that he put money in the Beis Din tzedakah box, was shocked when he noticed some judges who witnessed a murder act as witnesses, which reminds us, a Braisa teaches that if Sanhedrin witnessed a murder, Rav Tarfon says some of the judges testify before the others, and the others can judge based on the received testimony. Rav Akiva said that since all of them were potential witnesses, none of them can judge the case. So the master who sold a slave but retained his work for 30 days, who was so happy he was still subject to the rule of Yom or Yomaim, when he killed the slave that he put money in the Beis Din tzedakah box, was shocked when he knows some judges who witnessed a murder act as witnesses, as the judges judging examined the murder weapon, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses if a weapon must be examined by the judges or just the witnesses. So once again, the master who sold his slave but retained his work for 30 days, who was so happy he was still subject to the rule of Yom Yomai when he killed the slave that he put money in the Beis Din tzedakah box, was shocked when he knows some judges who witnessed a murder act as witnesses, as the judges judging examined the murder weapon. All right, so now we go to our four blah back chazara. Daf pei vav. So the simon daf pei vav is police. So here goes. The policeman, that must be on daf pei vav, police. The policeman got assaulted who received payment for unemployment, but not for damages since his broken arm was going to heal. Which reminds us, the Gemara discusses paying damages for a temporary loss in value. The Gemara concludes that this question is a subject of machlokes between Abai and Rava. Abai says, no son l'shevas gadol l'shevas katan. He gives him payment for his major unemployment, meaning his temporary loss of value caused by his current inability to work, and for his minor unemployment, meaning his current loss of income as a shomer kashuim. Rava says, Enu nosin la'el demei shifto shibacho yom yom. He only gives him the value of his daily loss of employment based on what he normally earns, but does not pay for the temporary damages. So the policeman who got assaulted, who received payment for unemployment, but not for damages, since his broken arm was going to heal, was grateful he received a boshes payment assessed as an aristocrat who lost wealth, since he was a descendant of the Abbas, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Pei Gimel Amud Beis taught about boshes payments. Hakol afi amavayish v'hamisbayish. It's all assessed according to the status of the humiliator and the humiliated. This is a Malchokas and a Brice where Ramirez says that all victims are viewed as aristocrats who lost their wealth, Shambinei Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, because they're the descendants of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. A poor person is not assessed according to his poverty, which would be too lenient, nor is a wealthy person assessed according to his wealth, for the claim would be endless. Rather, we use the above middle assessment which befits descendants of the Avos. Additional opinions are brought. So the policeman who got assaulted, who received payment for unemployment but not for damages, since his broken arm was going to heal, was grateful he received the boshes payment assessed as an aristocrat who lost his wealth, since he was a descendant of the Avos. Unlike the poor guy he found a while back who was humiliated when he was asleep and then passed away, who received nothing at all, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that one who humiliates a sleeping person is liable. The Abba Bar Mama asked, Bishul Yashav Meis Mahu, if he humiliated him while he was sleeping and he died in his sleep and never realized he was humiliated, what's the halacha? Rav Zvid explains the question is Boshe's payment for feeling embarrassment, and this one died without having any embarrassment, so the assailant would be exempt, or perhaps it's because of the public degradation to which he subjected his victim, and here too he degraded him, although he never knew. Rav Papa explains the inquiry differently. Daf Pei Zayin, so the Siman Daf Pei Zayin is a golden Pez candy dispenser, so here goes. The blind man who was Patur from Mitzvahs who knocked over the golden Pez candy dispenser display, golden Pez candy dispenser, that must mean one Daf Pei Zayin. The blind man who was Patur from Mitzvahs who knocked over the golden Pez candy dispenser display, which reminds us, Rebuta exempts a blind person from Boshes, Galus, Malkus, and capital punishment, as well as all monetary laws. Another Brisa adds, V'kenei Rebbe Yehuda potur mikol mitzvos hamuros b'Torah. And so Rebbe Yehuda would exempt him from all mitzvos in the Torah. This is because the Torah writes, V'eila mitzvos ha'chukim b'mishpatim. Together, teaching kol she'yeshim b'mishpatim, yeshim b'mitzvos ha'chukim. Anyone who is included in monetary laws is included in the commandments and statutes, but anyone excluded from monetary laws is not included in the mitzvos. So the blind man who was patur from mitzvos, who knocked over the golden Pez candy dispenser display, didn't see the girl who had come into the store to buy Pez candy with the money she received from getting injured, which reminds us, Rabbi Elazar asked Rav, Achova babas katana shel acherim, if one wounds the minor daughter of others, chaval lami, to whom is the injury payment given? Do we say that since the Torah awarded all the gains of her na'aris to the father, he also receives the injury payment, since her value as a potential ama ivria was diminished? Or do we say that he only receives gains such as her kedushin money because he can marry her off to whomever he chooses, but not injury money since he's prohibited from injuring her? Rav responded that the father does not receive her damage payments. So the blind man who was patur from mitzvos, who knocked over the golden Pez candy dispenser display, didn't see the girl had come into the store to buy Pez candy with the money she received from getting injured, nor the boy outside looking through the window whose money was put into trust when his father injured him, which reminds us. It was taught in a brisa, Chol v'no gadol yitin lo miyad. If one injures his adult son, he shall give him payment immediately. If he injures his minor son, he makes a trust for him. Daf Peches. So the Siman Daf Peches is a pach, a garbage can or a dustbin. So here goes. When the Eved Kanani took the garbage can, that must be one Daf Peches, pach. When the Eved Kanani took the garbage can outside from the basin, where he was not allowed to give edas, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a source that an Eved Kanani is disqualified as an aid. So when the Eved Kanani took the garbage can outside from the basin, where he was not allowed to give edus, he saw a man approach who threw his claim to his deceased mother's nickname, Elul property, into the garbage can, since her husband took it based on Dekanas Usha, which reminds us, Rav Shmuel Bar Abba of Hagronia's mother, after marrying Rabbi Abba, wrote over her property to her son Rav Shmuel. After she died, Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba established Rav Shmuel as a property's owner. Rabbi Yehuda ruled otherwise, quoting Shmuel, that if a woman sold her nickname Elul during her husband's lifetime and then died, the husband collects the property from the purchasers. Thus, Rabbi Abba can take the property from Shmuel Bar Abba. Shmuel's ruling was based on Tekanas Usha, the enactment of Usha, where the decree to strengthen the husband's right to her property, allowing him to collect it from her purchasers after she dies, as Shmuel said. So, when the Eved Kanani took the garbage can outside from the basin, where he was not allowed to give edus, he saw a man approach who threw his claim to his deceased mother's nickname, Elul property, into the garbage can, since her husband took it based on Tekanas Usha. As another person was selling land his father wrote over to him, while his father retained rights in the produce until his death, which reminds the Gemara brings a machlokas of a kinyan peretz kinyan aguf regarding preventing a sale, such as the case of one who writes over his properties to his son to acquire after his death, whereby the son owns the physical land now, but the father retains the right to its produce until he dies, and then the son sells the land. Daf Pei Tes. So the similar Daf Pei Tes is a chalent pot. So here goes. The woman showing off her new chalent pot, that must be on Daf Pei Tes. The woman showing off her new chalent pot she purchased with the tovas anah she received when she sold her ksuba, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses a married woman who sells her ksuba, which the buyer would collect if she becomes divorced or widowed, but not if she dies first. The buyer says, tovas anah l'isha havya, the discounted amount paid by the buyer belongs to the wife. So the woman showing off her new chalent pot she purchased with the tovas anah she received when she sold her ksuba to her friend who was not permitted to sell her ksuba to pay for damages she inflicted, which reminds us on Daf Pei Zayin Amanof, the Mishnah taught that married women do not pay for damages they inflict since they do not have money. The Gemara asks that she should sell her nixim elug to pay the victim and is forced to say the cases where she has none. The Gemara asks that she should sell her ksuba for its risk value, and the Gemara explains that even if she would sell the ksuba, she could later forgive the ksuba, which Shmuel taught is effective, which she would certainly do for her husband, and we do not want to actively cause the buyer a loss. So the woman showing off her new chalm pot she purchased with the tova sana she received when she sold her ksuba to her friend who was not permitted to sell her ksuba to pay for damages she inflicted, served some chalm to her nixon malug slave who wasn't freed when her husband knocked out his tooth, which reminds us, two braces discuss slaves of Maluk property owned by the wife, and the husband enjoys the produce. One states, Yotzim Shein Ba'ain Le'isha, they go free with the loss of a tooth or an eye inflicted by the wife, who's considered the owner of a Lola Ish, but not if it was afflicted by the husband, who is not considered an owner. The other braces teaches that neither is considered an exclusive owner. Four explanations are offered. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do we discuss the status of a Nixei Maluk slave, whether he goes free if his tooth or eye were knocked out by the wife or the husband? That's on Duff. Pay task. Good number two, which step do you discuss the case where the Sanhedrin witnesses murder and the question whether the judges can act as aiding? That's on Duff. Tzadi. Good number three, which step do you discuss whether one pays boshes for humiliating a sleeping person who then dies and was never aware of the humiliation? That's on Duff. Pay vav. Good number four, which stuff do we discuss whether a murder weapon must be examined by the judges or just the aiding? That's on Duff. Tzadi. Good number five, which stuff do we learn why a woman does not sell her ksuba to pay damages? That's on Duff. Pay task. Good number six, which stuff do we learn Rav Yehuda holds that a blind person is putter from all mitzvos? That's on Duff. Hey Zion. Good number seven. Which stuff do you discuss how to assess Shevis, unemployment, and if someone loses his hand, he's paid as if he were a Shomer Kashuim, a cucumber watcher? That's on Duff. Hey. Good number eight. Which stuff do you learn that in Bavel they only judge cases that are milsed the Shchicha v'Isbe Chesron Kis? That's on Duff. Pay dog. Good number nine, which stuff do we have a four-way machlokas regarding who gets the din of Yom O Yomayim when a master sells a slave but retains his work for 30 days? That's on Duff. Tzadi. Good. And number 10, which stuff do we learn the source that an Eved Kanani does not give edus? That's on Duff. Peches. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.